Assalamu alaikum students. On behalf of the Ministry of Science and Technology Pakistan, the Virtual University, and Mubashir Humayun, I welcome you to another lecture in Financial Management. We have been talking about the subject of bonds. Bonds are debt instruments, long-term debt instruments, and this is a subject that has been covered briefly in Chapter 7 of your textbook Brigham and Gabensky, and I have gone into more detail, so you should review the slides and the supplementary material that we sent to you carefully. So we have already spoken about the common characteristics of bonds. We have spoken about the different kinds of bonds that you can find in the marketplace. So bonds, which are debt instruments, like stock or equity, are direct claim securities. That means that the value of a bond, the bond is a piece of paper, and the value of that piece of paper is determined by the future cash flows that the bondholder will receive. What are these cash flows? They are of two basic types. One is the cash inflow in the form of coupon receipts, and these take place regularly over a period of time. And the other cash flow is the receipt that is attached to the par value of the bond, which you will receive at the time of maturity of the bond. We went over the bond valuation equation, that is, the present value, or PV, is equal to the sum of the future cash flows from the bond discounted to the present. We represent those cash flows as follows. PV is equal to CF1 divided by 1 plus RD raised to the power 1 plus CF2 divided by 1 plus RD raised to the power 2 plus CF3 divided by 1 plus RD raised to the power 3 plus so on, all the way until the maturity of the bond, at which time you will have two cash flows. One, the cash flow attached to the coupon, and the other, the cash flow attached to the par value. So, at the date of maturity, you would have CF divided by 1 plus RD raised to the power N, plus the par value of the bond divided by 1 plus RD raised to the power N. Now, just to recap, in this bond pricing or valuation equation, the key thing to understand is what RD is. RD represents the required rate of return by the investor or bondholder. This is the rate of return that the bond investor or bondholder expects based on his opportunity cost. In other words, if you take the case of Pakistan, then the bondholder will expect to receive a rate of return from the bond that is at least as high as the markup that he can get from a PLS account in a bank. The other term to keep in mind is the coupon or the CF, cash flow. The coupon receipt is equal to the coupon interest rate multiplied by the par value of the bond. The coupon rate for the bond is fixed, and it is fixed at the time of issuance of the bond. So it's important to remember that RD represents the required rate of return for the investor or bondholder, and this is different from the coupon rate. The coupon rate is the interest rate or markup rate that is fixed by the issuer of the bond at the time that the bond is issued. The coupon rate will remain fixed. These two rates are different from the market interest rate, which is a macroeconomic variable, and we spoke about the factors that determine the market interest rate very early on in the course. Just to refresh your memory, the cash flow or CF term in the bond valuation equation is calculated by multiplying the coupon interest rate multiplied by the par value of the bond. The par value of the bond is fixed at the time of issuance of the bond. And this par value is fixed. However, the market price of the bond, which is traded in the market every day, will fluctuate and vary depending on the supply and demand for that bond, depending on the perceptions of the investor and the confidence of the investor in that bond, and how the investor sees the level of risk from investing in that bond. Now, we started an example for defense savings certificates. And in this example, we mentioned that we are going to buy 100,000 rupees worth of this bond, which is the defense savings certificate. And this bond will pay a coupon of 1,000 rupees at the end of every month for 12 months. And at the end of the 12 months, you will recover your initial investment of 100,000 rupees, which is the par value. We also mentioned that you as an investor have a required rate of return, or R sub D, of 10% per year. And what we need to figure out is the present value or estimated value for this bond. Now, you will recall that a few lectures back, we solved a simplified version of this same problem, except at that time, we assumed that the coupon payment will take place once and at the end of the year only. So, when we were solving this simpler problem, we assumed that for an investment of 100,000 rupees, we will receive a coupon of 12,000 rupees at the end of 1 year. And then at the end of 1 year, we will also recover our initial investment of 100,000 rupees. So, when we solved this problem earlier on, we had a simpler interpretation, which was that all of the coupons will be received at the end of the year, and the answer we got for the net present value was 1,818 rupees. Therefore, the present value would be 101,818 rupees. That was the way we solved this problem near the beginning of this course. However, now the problem is different. We are talking about cash flows that are taking place at the end of every month for a period of 12 months. So, to be accurate, we need to come up with a different cash flow diagram. When you take a look at the cash flow diagram, you will see visually that we can separate the two kinds of cash flows that we associate with any bond to make it convenient for us to calculate the present values. As I mentioned, for a bond, one kind of cash flow is that from the coupon payments, and the other kind of cash flow is that associated with the recovery of the par value of the bond. So, let's talk about the first kind of cash flows, which are those associated with coupons. For this particular bond, you have a coupon of 1,000 rupees at the end of every month for 12 months. So, when you take a look at the cash flow diagram, you will see 12 upward pointing arrows, and each arrow represents 1000 rupees. Next, when you take a look at the cash flow from the par value, you will only see one upward pointing arrow, and that arrow takes place at the end of the 12th month, which is the maturity date for this bond. That upward pointing arrow represents a cash inflow of 100,000 rupees. So our job now, visually speaking, is very simple. We simply need to add up the arrows in the two cash flow lines that we have shown to come up with the combined cash flow diagram for this bond. If you take a look at the combined cash flow diagram, you will see that there are two upward pointing arrows at the end of the 12th month. They are both taking place at the same point in time. Therefore, you can add these two arrows, and at the end of the 12th month, you can combine those two arrows to form one arrow, which represents 100,000 rupees plus 1,000 rupees, which is equal to 101,000 rupees. Now, what you need to do is quite straightforward. The numbers associated with the cash flow diagram can be calculated based on our old principle of discounting. We need to calculate the present value. So we must bring each of the future cash flows back to the present point in time using our old discounting factor. When you take a look at the cash flows associated with the coupons, you will realize that they are of a constant amount and they take place at regular intervals in time, and they are of a finite or limited duration, which is 1 year. Therefore, you can apply the old annuity formula that we talked about to this particular cash flow pattern. Now, you will recall that the annuity formula was as follows. The future value of the annuity is equal to the constant cash flow amount multiplied by 1 plus I raised to the power n minus 1, all divided by I. Now, this was for the case of annual compounding. But you will note that in our example, the compounding is taking place every month, and there are 12 months in 1 year. So we need to use the multiple compounding version of the old formula, where we substitute the variable I by R divided by M. And we substitute the total number of years N by M multiplied by N, where M represents the number of intervals in 1 year. So, specifically for our particular example, let us calculate what the future value of the annuity from coupon payments is going to be. That is equal to the constant cash flow multiplied by 1 plus R divided by M raised to the power M multiplied by N minus 1 all divided by R divided by M. If we plug in the numbers, then we will find that R divided by M is simply the periodic rate of return, which is equal to the 10%, which is our required rate of return, R sub D, divided by 12, which is the number of months. So 10% divided by 12 is equal to 0.833%, which is equal to 0.00833. We can plug this into the formula, and we can compute what the future value of this annuity stream from coupons is going to be. So, when you take a look at the coupon annuity, the future value is equal to 1,000 multiplied by 1.00833 raised to the power 12 minus 1, all divided by 0.00833. That is equal to 12,566 rupees. This is the future value of the annuity at the end of 1 year. In other words, at the end of 12 months. What is the present value of this coupon annuity? That is simply equal to the future value divided by 1 plus r raised to the power mn. And that is equal to 12,566 divided by 1.00833 raised to the power 12. And that is equal to 11,374 rupees. This is the present value of the cash flows from coupons. Now we need to calculate the present value of the cash flow from the recovery of the par value of the bond. You will note that the par value will be recovered at the end of 1 year. That par value is 100,000 rupees. So the present value is equal to the future value divided by 1 plus r raised to the power mn. To be more accurate, the present value is equal to the future value divided by 1 plus r divided by m raised to the power mn. That is equal to 100,000 divided by 1.00833 raised to the power 12. And that is equal to 90,522 rupees. This is the present value of the par cash flows that are recovered at the end of the first year. So, now it is a simple matter to calculate the combined present value of the bond. We simply add up the present value from the coupon annuity to the present value of the par. That is equal to 11,374 rupees plus 90,522 rupees, which is equal to 101,896 rupees. When you compare the answer that we get for the present value of the bond with multiple compounding taking place at the end of every month, you get an answer which is 101,896 rupees. So, we have just figured out that when we use multiple compounding, in other words, when we take into account the fact that the cash flows are taking place at the end of every month and not just combining them at the end of 1 year, we realize that the present value of our investment is 101,896 rupees. Whereas, when we calculated the present value of this bond using the simple method of coupon payments taking place at the end of 1 year, the answer we got was 101,818 rupees, which is less. And that should make sense, because whenever the frequency of compounding increases, then the future value also increases and the present value increases as well. That is the fundamental of compounding. Naturally, if you compound an amount of money many times during 1 year, the answer that you will get as far as the future value goes will be higher than the answer you would get if you compound only once in 1 year. The other thing that you should remember is that the answer we got, 101,896 rupees, is higher or larger than the initial investment, which is 100,000 rupees. Therefore, the net present value of this investment is more than zero. And based on our own old criteria of capital budgeting, because the net present value is larger than zero, i.e. because it is a positive number, you should undertake this investment because it will add value. Now, the next area that I'd like to discuss with you as far as bonds go is the rate of return on a bond. We've just spoken about calculating the value or calculating the expected price of a bond. And the other variable that is just as important is the overall rate of return from the bond. The two are complementary. When bond traders talk about the overall return on a particular bond, they refer to what is known as the yield to maturity. The yield to maturity is abbreviated as YTM. And YTM is not very difficult to understand because you will recall that in capital budgeting, when we were studying investment criteria for real assets, we mentioned that you can calculate what is known as the IRR, or internal rate of return, using the net present value equation and setting the NPV equal to zero, and then solving for I, or the interest rate. Similarly, the YTM, or yield to maturity of a bond, can be calculated by setting the present value, or PV, of the bond equation equal to the market price of the bond, and then solving for the variable R sub D, which is the required rate of return on the bond. Now, let's try to understand yield to maturity, or YTM, using a very, very simple example. The example we will pick is that of the Term Finance Certificate, or TFC. TFC is a kind of bond that has become popular in Pakistan, and these bonds, or TFCs, are traded in the stock exchange, various stock exchanges, including the Karachi Stock Exchange. Let us assume that we are interested in investing in a TFC, and that the face value or par value of this TFC is 1,000 rupees. The market price of this TFC at which it is available in the stock market is 900 rupees. Let us assume that the coupon interest rate for this TFC is fixed at 15% per annum, and that the coupons will be paid at the end of every year. Let us also assume that this was a 5-year TFC, but 3 years have already passed, and the TFC will mature after 2 years from now. We need to pick a certain value, and in fact, what we need to do is use a similar setup to the one that we did for calculating the IRR for capital budgeting. So what we need to do is figure out what the required return for the investor is going to be if they invest in this bond. That required return is in fact the YTM, or yield to maturity. So let us set up the equation. If we compute the overall return, or YTM, for the TFC, we can follow our old IRR approach. We can use the present value equation for the bond and set it equal to the market price, and then solve the equation for R sub D, which is the required rate of return for the bond holder. The PV is equal to the market price, which is equal to 900 rupees in our case. The par value of the bond is 1,000 rupees, and this is the amount that we will receive after 2 years in the form of the par cash flow, The annual coupon for this TFC is equal to the coupon rate multiplied by the par value, which is equal to 15% per annum multiplied by 1,000 rupees, and that is equal to 150 rupees per year. R sub D is equal to the minimum required rate of return for the bondholder, and that is equal to the yield to maturity, or YTM. This variable is unknown, because this is what we are trying to calculate. Now, PV is equal to 900, which is equal to 150 divided by 1 plus RD, plus 150 divided by 1 plus RD squared, plus 1000 divided by 1 plus RD squared. Just to refresh your memory, the 150 refers to the cash flows from the coupons, and the 1000 rupees at the time of maturity, which is 2 years from now, refers to the cash flow from the par value of the bond. Continuing with the equation, 900 is equal to 150 divided by 1 plus RD plus 1150 divided by 1 plus RD squared. What I have done here is to add up the cash flows which are taking place at the same point in time 2 years from now. Now that we have set up the equation, we have one equation with one unknown. Therefore, we can solve it using trial and error. We know that the value of R sub D should be more than 15%. So that will help us in trying to guess what the value of RD that will solve this equation. I will explain in a minute how we know that the value of RD should be more than 15%. If you try various values of R sub D, for example, if you try 20%, you will come up with a present value of 924, which is close but different from the exact market price, which is 900. If you keep trying different values for R sub D, then you will find that the answer is when R sub D is equal to 21.7%. That will give you a present value equal to 900, which is exactly equal to the market price of this TFC. Therefore, 21.7% is the yield to maturity for this bond or TFC. I mentioned a little earlier that we know that the required rate of return for the bondholder is more than 15%. Why did I say that? Well, simply because the market price of this bond is 900 rupees. And we know that the par value of the bond is 1,000 rupees. And generally speaking, when the market price of a bond is less than its par value, you will recall that it can mean one of two things. Either there is a market phenomena at work whereby the investors perceive this bond as being a bad investment, therefore its market price is lower than its par value, or its market price has dropped because the interest rate has risen, and the interest rate has risen possibly beyond the coupon rate of interest. We knew that the coupon rate of interest for this bond was 15%. Therefore, it was a good guess that the R sub D, or the required rate of return on this bond, would be higher than 15%, which is why the market price was lower than the par value. Keep in mind also that the YTM is the expected rate of return for the bondholder. It is a promised rate of return provided that the bondholder holds the bond until maturity. However, if the issuer of the bond decides to call back the bond before maturity, or if you as the bondholder or investor decide to sell the bond before maturity, then your answer for the yield to maturity will change. I won't go into the details of the calculation, but they're quite straightforward because you simply replace the final cash flow or the par value of the bond with what is known as the call value, and the call value is estimated generally at being equal to the par value plus 1 year's worth of coupon payments. Now, another thing to keep in mind regarding the yield to maturity is that it is a representative, or rather it is a representation of the overall return or the total return on the bond. And the overall return has two components. It is equal to the interest yield on a bond plus the capital gains yield on the bond. So, just to repeat, the YTM is equal to the overall return on the bond, which is equal to the interest yield plus the capital gains yield. Now, if we take a look at the example we've just studied, then what is the overall yield for the TFC? That is simply equal to the YTM, which is equal to 21.7% per annum. Now let us calculate what the interest yield on the TFC that we have been talking about would be. The interest yield is simply equal to the annual coupon divided by the current market price of the bond. That is equal to 150 rupees divided by 900 rupees, which is equal to 16.7%. Now, how can we calculate the capital gain yield on this bond? Well, that is simply equal to the overall yield, or the YTM, minus the interest yield. So, the capital gain yield is equal to 21.7% minus 16.7%, which is equal to 5%. So, bonds and bond valuation, bond theory, bond pricing, overall returns on bonds, all of these are quite complicated exercises, and we will not go into great detail as far as bond pricing and valuation goes, because this is an introductory course in financial management. But I would like to review some of the important things that we've spoken about as far as bonds go. We began by mentioning that the bond is simply a piece of paper, and it is a legal contractual piece of paper in which the borrower promises to repay the money that he has borrowed back to the lender. We mentioned that bonds appear as long-term debt on the liability side of the balance sheet if the bonds have been issued by that company. We mentioned that the person or the company or the government that borrows the money is known as the bond issuer, because in return for borrowing the money, they issue the bond. We mentioned that the person or the company or the government that borrows the money is known as the bond issuer, because in return for borrowing the money or accepting the money, they issue a bond to the lender. The lender who has provided the money or the debt financing is also known as the bond holder or investor. We spoke about various common characteristics of bonds, and let me just review some of the most important ones. Every bond contains a par value, which is the value of the piece of paper that is printed on the bond at the time of issuance. That is the value of the bond. And at the time of maturity, that is also the market price of the bond. The par value of the bond is different from the market price of the bond at which it is traded in the open market. Why is that? Again, because the market price of a bond fluctuates depending on the demand and supply of that bond in the market and depending on the confidence of the investors in that bond. The price of the bond also fluctuates depending on the market interest rate in the economy. We mentioned that there is an inverse relationship between the bond price and the market interest rate. When market interest rates go up, bond prices come down. And this is an outcome of the bond pricing or bond valuation formula. Another thing that is contained on the bond, other than the par value, is the date of maturity of the bond. Bonds are generally of a limited life, unlike stocks that can be considered to be perpetual or ongoing. Stocks might live as long as the company, but bonds are of a limited life. The borrower plans to repay the money within a limited period of time. That might vary from 6 months to maybe 10, 15, or 30 years. So that is also shown on the piece of paper, which is the bond. Another thing that is stated on the bond is the coupon rate. This coupon interest rate is fixed at the time of issuance of the bond. And I'm speaking for most bonds other than floating rate bonds. So this coupon interest rate is basically like a markup rate. And it is stated on the bond, and the borrower promises to pay the lender that percentage in the form of markup or in the form of coupons regularly. If the borrower does not pay the coupons, then the company can be forced to close down. So the bondholders have certain legal powers and claims on the assets of the company if they are not paid on time. We mentioned various kinds of bonds that are available in the market. The mortgage bond is the most common one. The mortgage bond is backed by some real asset, which is the security. This serves as the insurance or security for the money lender, that in the event he has not repaid his money, he can claim or seize the assets that are underlying or that are the security for this bond. We also mentioned other types of bonds like debentures, which are not secured, euro bonds, which are floated in foreign markets, floating rate bonds, whose coupon varies depending on the interest rate, junk bonds, zero bonds, and convertibles. So these definitions are not as important as your ability to solve numerical problems related to bond pricing and valuation and overall rate of return. We then spoke about bond valuation and bond pricing, and we mentioned that this is not much different from the most important formula in this course up till now, which is the formula for present value. As I mentioned earlier on, this is a critical formula for you to understand and practice and become good at using. The bond price, or the expected price of the bond, the theoretical price, can be estimated using the present value equation. The present value is equal to the expected price of the bond, which is equal to the sum of the future cash flows discounted to the present. And what are the kind of cash flows that you see in a bond? There are two basic kinds of cash flows. One of them is the cash flows associated with coupon receipts, and the other is the cash flow associated with the recovery of the par value of the bond. The coupon receipts take place regularly over a finite period of time, and generally the pattern of the cash flows follows the annuity cash flow profile that we spoke about earlier. So there is a simple way of calculating the present value of an annuity. There's a shortcut formula that we spoke about and that we applied to one of the examples. And to that you have to add the cash flow from the recovery of the par value of the bond at the time of maturity. We mentioned that in this bond valuation formula, the important variables to keep in mind are those of the coupon receipt, which can be calculated by multiplying the coupon interest rate by the par value of the bond. The other important thing to understand is the interpretation of the variable R sub D. This is the required rate of return that the bond investor or the bondholder expects to receive by investing in this bond. And this R sub D, or required expected return from the investment in the bond, has to be higher than the minimum rate of return that the investor can get in the market in any particular country. In the case of Pakistan, almost anybody can deposit their money in a PLS account in a bank and get a rate of return or markup equal to about 9 or 10% per year. So, any investor who is going to invest in a bond that may be more risky than a PLS savings account in a bank will expect a rate of return which is higher than, or which is larger than, the minimal acceptable rate of return of 9 to 10%. This is an important point to understand, and later on when we speak about risk in detail, I'll explain the connection between the required rate of returns and the level of risk. We also mentioned that other than the calculation of bond value and bond price, the other very important thing that we need to be able to calculate is the overall rate of return on a bond, and that is known as the YTM, or yield to maturity. The yield to maturity is very similar to the IRR calculation that we did in capital budgeting. To calculate the yield to maturity, you simply set the present value of the bond pricing equation equal to the market value of the bond, which is the actual price in the open market. And then you solve this equation for the variable R sub D. And the correct value of R sub D will be the yield to maturity. So we mentioned that the market interest rates have an effect on bonds by means of the interest risk as well as the reinvestment risk. And I mentioned that long-term bonds prices fluctuate more than short-term bonds because in long-term bonds, their coupon rates are fixed over a long period of time, whereas the open market interest rate fluctuates day to day. We also mentioned that the bond prices fluctuate, but when the bond approaches its maturity, the market price will approach and ultimately equal the par value of the bond at the time of maturity. We mentioned that reinvestment risk is the risk that once the bond expires or reaches its maturity, that the investor will not be able to invest in another bond and get as high a rate of return or as high a coupon interest rate. So kindly go over the various theoretical aspects and the calculations that we've done for bonds, because you may not find all of these in our textbook, Brigham and Kapinski. With this, I would like to close this lecture. On behalf of the Virtual University, the Ministry of Science and Technology, Pakistan, and Mubashir Humayun, I thank you for your attention and patience. Until we meet the next time, Khuda Hafiz and Assalamu Alaikum.